You know our slogan around here is better practice, better life. But we're taking this belief to the next level. And we've recently announced the creation of a new association. It's called the Best Practices Association. Our association celebrates the mindset that is better practice, better life. This mindset celebrates time, healthy living, personal growth, clinical excellence, and impacting the lives of your patients and your team through intentional leadership. In fact, we are the work-life balance experts in dentistry. The BPA will coach independent dental practices like yours to thrive by sharing best practices and operational habits, behaviors, systems, tools, and insight that lead to profitability and sustained growth, and you can still have a life. So if you're a dentist that wants to surround yourself with great thinkers, let us help you create your own version of better practice, better life. Go to actdental.com/BPA or hit the link in the show notes. Guys, welcome to the Best Practices Show. My name is Kirk Barron. I'm your host today, and boy, do I have a treat for you. This guy is awesome. If you've never heard of Adamo, probably been sleeping underneath a rock. This guy is awesome, wildly talented, and straight to the point. There's going to be no BS today, and his story is even more amazing. So you'll love this. Now, if you're here for the first time, I just want to do a couple things. We watch the metrics a lot, and so we've got a lot of younger students, even dental students listening to the podcast, and I just want to congratulate you for showing up, doing some great learning. It's a great community here. There's no egos. We're just here to help you create a better practice and better life. And so if you're listening on Spotify right now or iTunes, wherever you're listening to the podcast, do me a favor. Go down to that little button. It says subscribe and just hit it. Because you're going to see every single week, I'll bring you a brand new expert in dentistry with some great topics. You're going to see I'm not very smart. That's why I go to the experts and ask them the great questions. And they're so willing to give in a great profession like this. You're going to get great tips to create a better practice and a better life every single week. Also, if you haven't joined our Facebook group, make sure you join us over there. Over 13,000 of you signed up for the Facebook group. It's Best Practices Powered by ACT Dental. During the COVID conference, we still don't even really know how it works, but the coolest part about it is it's dentists helping dentists, and it's just a great community, and the conversation always continues over there. Also, if you're looking for just great resources, you want to improve your practice, join us over at actdental.com, where we've got ACT Dental U, and we've got great speakers every single Friday. We bring a great masterclass this week. We have Dr. Nate Lawson. He's going to be talking about zirconia, advanced concepts in zirconia. Guy's genius. And the classes are 90 minutes. And then we do a 30-minute Q&A. So you get to ask the instructors anything you want. So, and you get all the access to the courses from the past 24/7. You can watch them whenever you want. And if you just need help talking about your practice, we're always here to help. Dentistry is the greatest profession ever. Here's the coolest part. There's no rules. You can practice however you want. Make it happen. So I want to introduce my guest today because I got to know you, Adamo, and I met you, I think it was Minnesota. It was Jessica and Chad. I'm like, and they're like, they took us out to dinner and they're like, no, this guy's a genius. And I'm like, wow, he's really sharp. And then I got to know you even better in the conference last year because you were just a hero for us. You kept showing up and just delivering great information. And it was a great distraction for all of us just to learn something about dentistry. And then every time I turn the corner or everything I'm looking at, I see the stuff that you're doing, even on Instagram. Now, I'm going to say this. If you're listening to this or watching this, you got to follow Adamo on Instagram. It is so – there's stuff that I watch you do that I'm like, how the heck? It's so cool, so unique. You're in a category one. Nobody does what you do. And today we're going to be talking about photography. But if somebody doesn't know who you are, I want you to tell them your story a little bit. Who's Adamo? Who are you? Where do you practice? Oh, wow. You.
All right. My story is interesting. I've been in practice where I am since 2004 in the same office. I'm in Huntington, New York, which is in Long Island, because we like to separate Long Island and New York. It's two different bodies, in my opinion. No, I'm just kidding. But yeah, I went to college at Cornell University. I graduated in 1996. My degree was in soccer. I really had no desire to do anything with my life but be a pro soccer player, which I did. I played about 6 months in a farm league team, not the MLS or anything, but I saw my first paycheck in that league and I was like, oh man, this is not going to cut it. I mean, this is just as terrible. I wasn't making major league dollars at that by any means. So I quit and, I had no idea what I wanted to do with my life. My father drove a garbage truck. My mom was his secretary. So I went to work one day. I was dressed in a shirt and tie and my dad looked at me. He's like, what are you doing? I said, I'm coming to work for you. He's like, no more school. I'm like, nah, I graduated. I'm done. He's like, okay, you can work for me, but go home and put the shittiest clothes you have on. I'm going to make you wish you never closed the book. And he threw me on the back of a garbage truck. I picked up about 750 homes a day for about a year and a half until I got back into dental school. I remember the first morning I woke up, I couldn't lift my arms or bend my finger. And I was in shape. I mean, I was playing basically pro soccer, so it's not like I couldn't run and I was pretty strong. But I couldn't bend my fingers or lift my arms. And he stood over me. It was about 5 a.m. And he said, this is the only day I'm going to give you off. Ice yourself, because tomorrow you're going back. And he did. He tortured me for a year and a half. And it's crazy because as hard as I work now and the hours I put in between the office and the lectures and the articles, and it doesn't even compare. I mean, that job, I tip my garbage men so much at Christmas because it's brutal. I mean, it was the most unbelievable learning experience in terms of work ethic. And, you know, he always say to me, I wanted to teach you how to work with your head, not with your behind. And, it worked. But yeah, it was, when I got to dental school, I had been to the dentist maybe 4 times in my life. My parents are off the boat Italian and, we didn't go for six. I don't even think I had a cleaning ever. I didn't even know what the dentist was. I got into school. Everyone was like, oh, my uncle's an oral surgeon and my father's a dentist and my mom's a dentist. And I was like, yeah, I never went to the dentist. I didn't even know what a mirror was, Explorer. So, I appreciate your kind words about my successes and the stuff you see that you enjoy. But I really truly believe anybody can do everything that I do if they have the heart, the passion, and the work ethic, because I knew nothing when I started. And I mean nothing.
That's crazy. Now, your story is so unique. I mean, I don't think I've ever talked to anybody that's had that path in dentistry. Ever. I was telling you before we went live, like, I thought my path was a little hard because we had no money and I worked at Applebee's, but like that beats any story. And then also you shared a little story with about Denzel Washington. Can you share that? Because I think that's
Somebody sent me a video, tagged me in a video on Instagram, and I opened it up and it was Denzel Washington getting interviewed, and the life of me, I can't remember who. It's a famous interviewer. I don't remember who it was. And Denzel Washington said, I grew up in Malvern, New York, which is in Queens. And at 20 years old, I worked for the sanitation department, the town. And he picked up 22 square blocks of garbage. He was on the back of the garbage truck. And he said, that's hard. Like, making movies is nothing. Picking up garbage day in and day out is hard. I could totally relate. A lot of people know my story now because I usually open up my lectures with an intro on a video I have about that. And so when everybody sees Garbage Man or anything that has to do with Elvis, they send it to me. I hadn't gotten anything about a famous person in garbage, but I was pretty cool to see that somebody like Denzel Washington, who obviously clearly made it, understands what that work ethic is. And I could relate to that 150%.
Yeah, that's totally cool. And we're going to talk about a lot of different things. You're a great influencer now, a great teacher in dentistry, but that wasn't like an easy path for you. You didn't just go into dental school and you're like, oh yeah, I took some courses and it kind of all worked out for me. How the heck did you get to where you're at right now? Like, how did that happen?
There's a book. I actually always quote this in my lectures too. There's a book that I got recommended by John Coyce, and it's called Talent is Overrated. And it basically talks about, you know, are people born with innate ability and stuff like that. And, you know, one of the people in the book that I quote and focus on, I'm a big golfer, is Tiger Woods. I know we all know that he's been in a horrific car accident, but he seems to be doing okay. And obviously our thoughts and prayers are with him to recover quick. But in the book, it talks about Tiger's upbringing and how he was given his first metal golf club at 7 months. His father used to put him in a high chair and he used to watch his dad hit golf balls like an on-reel video for hours and hours a day. He was getting lessons when he was 2 or 3 years old on the course at four. And one of the most interesting lines to me was Tiger Woods hit more golf balls by the age of 12 than most pros do by the time they're 30. And we think about how many golf balls professionals hit. I think my success in dentistry is that path. I mean, if I went and took a class 4 composite course from Bob Margus, when I came home, I did a plastic tooth every single day until I could do it blindfolded. The last couple of years, I started practicing under a microscope. I got a microscope probably three years ago. For the first 60 days, I prepped a plastic tooth because it was impossible. And now it's second nature, but I do it over and over. I don't just do it once. I do it 10,000 times. I guess they say, you know, to become great at something, you need 10,000 hours. That's what I did. I mean, I've taken every CE. Some I've taken twice. When it's hands-on, whatever I was instructed to do in the class, I went home and did it. I still work on plastic teeth. I mean, I'm 46 years old and been doing this for many, many years. But I have no shame in picking up a plastic tooth and practicing and trying to better myself. And I think that's the difference between somebody who does good and then somebody who excels to the highest level, in my opinion. I mean, you look at somebody like John Coyce. The guy, he reads more articles in a month than most of us do in our lifetime. Right. And the amount of work that he had to do to put together the Coyce Center, or somebody like Frank Spear, same thing. You know, it's a different level of not intelligence, not ability, and not skill. It's work ethic, in my opinion. I think that's 80% of the battle. I mean, I know it is for me. I was not the smartest kid in dental school. I got in on a wait list, barely. Yeah. Academically, I wasn't great. I was good clinically, I'll give you that, but I worked hard. But I still practice a lot. And I think social media, you know, we talked about Instagram, that's great. But, you know, you're looking at two-dimensional pictures. You have no idea how much work the person and effort put into learning that and doing it. And everybody wants everything so fast. It's such a, our society is, I want to click the button and it's done. And they think that they're going to get that good in dentistry because they looked at an Instagram post. And the reality is, you know, one of my biggest pet peeve questions I get is when I show my photos on Instagram is, what camera did you use? And I'm like, listen, I can physically send you my camera with my SD card and you'll never take a picture like me. Why? Because you don't understand light. You don't understand camera settings. You don't understand. You have to put the time and hours in to understand this, to create the kind of work that you see that these guys, you know, create. And I think that's lacking, in my opinion. But for me, work ethic is tremendous. I think I could pretty much still outwork anybody. I have my resident, Devin McClintock, for the AACD. The first week we were here, I work Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday now because of my lecture schedule, but I do 12 hours a day. And by Wednesday night, she looked at me and she was like, I don't know how the hell you do this. And she's 29 years old. I got her by a lot of years. And I'm like, get used to it, kiddo, because you want to be the best. This is the only way. You got to put the time in.
That's awesome. That's awesome. I love this. I have so many questions for you. Today, we're going to be talking. We're putting two things together. No BS and photography. Now, I want you to share a little bit of your whole philosophy. You just like cut through all the BS. Like, and when it comes to education, and then also something that's very near and dear to your heart, and we'll talk about your courses that you guys do with Amanda, but photography is like one of your extreme passions. So mm-hmm. Put those two together. Why is this such an important time in dentistry and an important topic?
You know, I would say when I started with the AACD, I got pretty decent with a camera. You know, when I did accreditation, you had to take 12 photos and I knew how to take basic photos. And I would say social media is what sparked me to open up a creative side I probably didn't know I had. I mean, I remember I was anti-social media and I shut down Facebook because of a family argument over a stupid picture. And I was like, I don't need this. And my computer guy at work was like, dude, you need social media. I'm like, I'm not doing it. And my assistant at the time was like, why don't you do Instagram? I'm like, what the hell is Instagram? She's like, you just kind of put before and afters up. So I did. I mean, I had accreditation cases, fellowship cases I was working on. So I had good dentistry to post. They weren't artistic. They were, right. Your basic, what I do day to day. And then I started seeing these pictures from these two guys, and it was the same two guys in Venezuela. And it was just like, what the? I was mesmerized.
Wow.
The artisticness, the beauty, the lighting. And I was like, I need this. So I contacted them and I said, I don't care what it costs. I'll fly both of you to New York. You can stay in my home. I want you here for 2-3 days to work, and you guys can hang out, and it's on me, whatever. And they did. They didn't know me from a hole in the wall. They flew up. We spent a couple of days in my office. I was hooked from 2 seconds in. And I just never put a camera down again.
Yeah.
And about a week later, they messaged me and they're like, dude, what did you eat this week? I'm like, what are you talking about? They're like, your photos went from average to my God. And they invited me to start teaching with them. And I lecture around the world with them. It's a photo course called When the Pictures Really Matter. They're amazing, outstanding, but they really started to push to open up a side of me I didn't really know I had. And I started messing around with this lip art stuff before pretty much anybody was doing it. And I don't know, it just kind of took off. Now, everybody does, which is awesome. I mean,
right.
If I got to inspire any little bit of a movement like that, it's cool. But the artistic stuff is fun. I just literally 10 minutes before we started, I had a patient I did my first accreditation case on. I put the veneers in 2009. So I just did a 12-year follow-up photos, and I had a makeup artist come in and we did some headshots for her. So I'm going to have I'm doing actually a lecture for John Coyce, because that case was my first article ever in Compendium. So I'm going to do I have the whole case steps and stuff, and I want to end it with a 12-year follow-up and now add these artistic photos. So you can see the migration of how my photography went from typical day-to-day ACD to now incorporating the artistic stuff. I think it's more important now in terms of the artistic stuff. I think day-to-day photography that I do, I can't practice. I don't know how anybody practices without a digital camera. I think you're nuts if you do. But if you can start getting into the artistic stuff, and it doesn't have to be crazy. I mean, the amount of advertising, I get so many patients from Instagram, and we used to spend $10,000 on 30,000 flyers to 5 local zip codes and get patients looking for deals, not looking for quality. So now on social media, I can advertise myself with the quality of dentistry that I do. And patients are coming to me because they're thinking, dude, this guy's good. I want him to do my I just got one yesterday. This guy's like, I need you. And I'm like, okay, here's my number. Come. But to hit that kind of market, we would have to pay so much money that now it's free.
Yeah. I'm glad you're saying this, because I just talked to my marketing guy, who's brilliant, last week. And he said, because I was saying the same thing. I hate social media. I hate Instagram. He's like, okay, reframe this. Say, I hate social media, or I hate, but I love what it does for my business. Say it with me. I was like, okay, I can say that. Like, I get that. That's what happened to you. Now, I want to go back to the moment that you had those guys up. Give me the aha moment. When those guys came up, number one, I love the fact that you brought them to you, or you went to them. That's one thing that dentists don't get right. Like, you got to go find mentors. They don't just find you. You got to go get them. And number two, what was the big aha moment when those guys were with you that you're like, holy moly, what was one of the epiphanies you had?
I mean, in the beginning, just understanding the camera settings, I was like, oh, that's what this does, or that's how that does, was great. But I remember the first picture I took with a different set of lighting that I didn't know existed. And I looked at the back of my camera and I was like, holy shit, that's the prettiest photo of teeth I've ever taken. I still post it because I think it's insane. But I never understood different lighting and how it could affect the teeth and how it could bring out an artistic side or showcase the veneers and the artistry or the soft tissue. It was a photo with 2 soft boxes in the back of my office. The first time I clicked it on my assistant, I was like, oh my God, that's it. I'm never putting down a camera again. I was obsessed.
That's awesome. That is awesome. And then from there, you just spawn like, I'm going to work on this, and I'm just going to keep getting better and better and better. You talk to a lot of dentists. You talked to one yesterday at a stoplight. Tell that story. What do they get wrong when they want to go down this path? Where do you find that they're off, or that they get wrong on this journey?
Yeah. So it's funny because the dentist I spoke to yesterday, I think actually had it right, which is not usually the common thing on the phone call. I just did a post on this. A lot of people will ask, you know, if I post a composite, which composite? That's really not the question you should ask. What camera? It doesn't really matter, to be honest. You need to understand how the composite I'm working with handles. What color is it really? How does it reflect light? And stuff like that. People, they just want the simple, give me the cookie cutter. But no two teeth are the same. No two situations are the same. So if you don't understand the material you're working with, whether it be a camera or composite or impression material, you're never going to get it right. So this doctor messaged me. I saw it on Instagram, and she's like, I have to ask you a question, and I need to talk about a topic, and I know you're going to be no BS, so can you talk to me? I happen to be at a red light. I'm like, I'm in the car, perfect. I got a half hour ride, call me. And it was regarding digital dentistry, and she did a 10-unit case, and not only did it digital, but she sent an analog impression, and the case didn't fit on the digital. And we were talking, I'm like, listen, I'm not going to even state my opinion on it, because that's a topic for another thing. But I was like, I don't believe this, and I believe that, and I don't think you were the problem. I think doing huge cases at this point is not always perfect digitally. So I always recommend always send an analog to go with it. And she was like, see, that's all I needed. I've asked 5 people, and they were all, like, nobody gave me a straight up answer. Right. And I was like, well, I'm not going to, you know me, I'm not going to bullshit you at all. But most of the time the call is, hey, can you tell me about the composite system you use? And I'm like, you can have it. I'll mail it to you. But if you don't understand what milky white means, or what incisal clear means, or what EA1 is, how are you going to layer a tooth?
Right.
Like, you really need to study what material you're using. And it's all personal preference. There's so many good companies. There's so many good materials. You have to find what you like, but you also need to understand what the hell the material does, you know? And it drives me nuts with composites, because you post a composite veneer case that might be 2 shades, and they're like, what system? Does it matter what system? Or should you understand what system you're using? And right. If you like it, figure out the color and so on and so forth. So that's one of the things that drive me nuts. And the doctor yesterday totally had it right, because it was a question of, I did research on this. I stretched the limit this much. Is it me, or what's your experience? So those are all, that's an awesome question to talk about, because I had the same problem that she happened to have on a very similar case. So that's good learning experience. But just for when now, like I said, people want answers so fast. Yeah. And they want the easy cookie cut away. And listen, you're not going to do great dentistry if you think it's going to come easy. You got right. Another thing coming.
Yeah. Now I want you to go a little bit deeper on that, because I love this. I'm picking up what you're putting down, because I love it. Because you just got to ask better questions. You got to get into the why. I love getting into the why. And I, as you can imagine, I talk to dental students all the time, you know, and mm-hmm. One of the things I'm like, get ready. You're walking in the greatest profession ever, but you got to be a committed learner. And so I'm going to have you back. We're going to talk about a lot of things. I want to talk about the class 4 composite, all that stuff. But today I want to go onto the photography, which is this. If a young kid's listening to this right now and she's thinking about being a dentist, how important is it to really get good at photography to be a great dentist? Like, give us some good perspective on that. What do you think? I think personally it's a non-negotiable piece of becoming a great dentist, but that's my opinion.
And I second your opinion. 150,000%. You know, when I teach dental photography, I focus on 7 reasons why photography is important. One of them happens to be self-assessment. So I'm my own worst critic. I mean, I probably have enough Instagram posts for the next 10 years if I post every day. And I haven't posted them because I look at my work and I'm like, damn it, I don't like that line angle. I mean, and I'm being super critical, where I think at this point, a lot of people wouldn't even notice. A couple of years ago, I started a trend. Every week I would post a case that I didn't love, but it was good. And I called it Almost Graham. And people were laughing at me. They're like, dude, that's ridiculous. I'm like, but do you see where it's off? My point right. is, I want you to train your eye at the highest level, which is for me what accreditation and fellowship did from the AACD, train me to the highest level of aesthetics, where you see the most minute detail. And if you're not taking before and after photos of your work constantly, which is what I do, how are you going to improve? You know, I used to work with 2.5 times loops when I first got out of school, then to four. I now have eights and a microscope. And let me tell you something. When you see your work under a microscope at 20 times or 30 times, you're like, I'm the worst dentist ever. Because it's so big. But how do you think you're going to get better? When you can look at it that big and it's flawless, imagine what it looks like to the human eye. Wow. It's almost impossible to see. Yeah. So without putting your before and afters on a screen and evaluating your work later, you will never, ever improve. So if I was a dental student even, I know they might not allow cameras in clinic, but the day I was done, I would spend the first $2,000 or $1,500 or $1,000 that I ever made on a digital camera, because it will make you back so much money later on by the skills you improve and so on and so forth.
Yeah.
In my opinion.
And you just, now again, two things, like you don't have to spend a fortune.
No.
And the second thing is you just got to get started. I had a guy come in and a video expert, and he's like, listen, just start crappy. Like just, it's going to be crappy, but you're not going to stay there. You just get going. Would you agree?
Yeah, 100%. I mean, my first camera was a point and shoot in dental school or in residency. And then I got like a basic use nothing. Now with eBay, you can get so much stuff. I mean, now I'm an addict and I have more camera equipment than probably my car is worth, but that's just because I'm a psycho. But yeah, I mean, it doesn't have to be crazy. Just something that you can get a consistent, really good close-up quality photo of your work to say, you know what? I did a good job for this patient. My patient's happy. And I have tons of these. My patient's happy and I'm begging to cut it off and do it over. Why? Because over the years and seeing my work grow over time, I now know what I didn't know then. And I hope to continue that in the future. You know, the day you think you're good enough and you have nothing left to learn is the day you should put your handpiece down and go do something else.
The Best Practices Show with Kirk Behrendt is brought to you exclusively by ACT Dental, the ultimate provider of dental practice management solutions for dentists and their teams. ACT Dental is committed to helping you build a better practice and a better life. If you are looking to grow your production, motivate your team, get back on track, and create the practice you've always dreamed about, look no further. Give us a call at 800-851-8186 or visit us at actdental.com.
Talk about it from the patient's perspective too, because while it's very important as a clinician to, you know, get a feedback loop where you're doing an honest assessment, but from a communication standpoint, people say this all the time, you know, patients are becoming more and more digitally focused. Like I've heard this a million times, talking is the worst form of communication ever. How important is it just in your communication style that you use in your practice when talking
to patients? Yeah, I mean, that's a great, great point. You know, my hygienist, each have an iTero in their room. They scan every single hygiene patient. They have intraoral camera. And when I tell you, I can tell a patient that, hey, this old amalgam doesn't look so good on 15 and you need an onlay, and then they get the treatment plan. They're like, no, he just wants to make his next car payment. But when you put the photo up or they see that digital scan with all the silver in it or the tooth broken down, I don't even have to treatment plan it when I come in the room. They're like, I think we need to change that. I'm like, yeah, you're right, because you can see it. You know, even with aesthetic consults, I had a guy come in yesterday who he sees a dentist that I'm very good friends with in the same town and only came to me because I did his daughter's class 4 composite and he couldn't fathom, A, it was on the microscope. I videoed it. So he was watching the video live, like he was mesmerized. And he's like, I love my dentist. She's amazing. But I told her that I saw you work. And because I saw what you did for my daughter, I want you to do the veneers. And the doctor was great. She's like, yeah, he's excellent, go to him. And then I'm not stealing the guy. I'm like, no, you're going back to your dentist for your cleanings because she's awesome. I'm happy to help you. But when he saw, I took one photo of his teeth retracted and put it up on my iPad, and he was like, oh my God. I'm like, this is why you need 10 and not 2. And yeah, he was like, I get it. Now I get it. So the pictures, I hate the word sell, but let's face it, we are, you know, salesmen a little bit. We have to sell our treatment or propose our treatment and have them accept it. I didn't have to say a word. The minute he looked at that picture, he was like, oh God. You know, it's huge.
I don't mind the words. I have 4 kids that hard sell me every day. So everybody. Yeah. Sells me. No, There's multi dimensions to this, because somebody might be listening to this and thinking, well, you're talking about a camera. No. We're talking about everything visual. Go back to what you said before. You're working under a microscope. You're taking video, like you're getting them involved visually, not only with camera, with video, all that stuff, even under the microscope.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I purposely recorded this guy's daughter's class 4 because I wanted him to leave my office and say, I've never been to a dentist who, I've made him watch. My microscope is 3D. So I put 3D glasses on the guy and he was like, oh my God, this is the coolest thing. It's like I'm watching a movie. And then I have a little recording monitor on one of my tables that the microscope records into. I purposely pointed it right at him before he even knew he was there, recorded it live. And he was like, I just watched art. I watched this guy rebuild my daughter's entire front tooth layer by layer. And it looks exactly like her tooth. He's like, I was amazed. And he was in my chair the next week for a consult.
Yeah. I think he might be a fan of yours now, you know, and other people.
Well, exactly.
And here's the thing. I talk to a lot of dentists. They're trying to find a unique way to differentiate who they are, why people should spend discretionary dollars to come here. And that's what you're talking about. Like everybody's got to find their way in this, but being unique in dentistry and getting the word of mouth, like you've taken marketing to a whole nother level. Now people are seeking you out. And that's like, that's kind of like the place everybody wants to get, but you just don't get there. You got to put it out there. You talk about taking risks. Like you've taken risks before. You can't just sit back and be comfortable and hope people show up in your chairs. You got to put it out there.
Oh yeah. I mean, listen, I took a big risk when I decided to do this lip art and crazy stuff. I remember my first photo shoot. I had two partners at the time and it was about a Tuesday night after a 12-hour day at like 11 o'clock. And it was unique, I guess, if you want to say it. And I posted it on Instagram and I tagged my office and they freaked. Whoa. They were like, this is a general practice. We have older patients. They can't see wild art. And I was like, okay, no problem. And I had like 5 followers at the time. So I took it. I just untagged them. And then I made my Instagram my own personal thing. And the office stuff is separate. So the office I keep PG, if you want to say, and I get a little risque on my personals at time to time with some of the lip art and stuff like that. But now it's so mainstream in my office. I mean, we have in my conference room, which turns into our photo studio, we have like 8 of my photos hanging up. They love it. Now all the patients know from social media, my staff loves it. But in the beginning, yeah, it was different, really different. And I don't fault their reaction at all because no one was doing photo shoots with makeup artists with crazy hair and glitter on the face at 11 o'clock at night in the middle of the week. And, you know, it's fine. But now that it started the ball rolling and they see the return on the investment that it made, I mean, it could have backfired on me, but it worked out for me. So it's been crazy. I mean, super, super, super nuts for me.
Yeah. Well, I love this. And I know I don't get you forever because I want to have you back again and again and again. But I'm going to take the vantage point. I'm a 32-year-old dentist, Adamo. I'm watching you. Like, I want to do this, but you're kind of freaking me out. Like, that's a lot. Like, break this down into bite-sized steps for me. Like, I don't need the microscope and the video right now.
No.
But, like, tell me what to do. Like, where do I start? I got a team that I got all PPO in my practice. You don't understand. My practice is you hear this all the time. My practice is different. My patients wouldn't go for this. Like, help me out. Help me out of the mud if I'm thinking that.
Yeah, I think that's the biggest misconception ever. Your patients don't go for it because you don't present it properly or you don't market yourself properly for people to come look for it. I mean, we've had patients in the chair say, I didn't even know you guys did this here. Yeah. And my practice is pretty well-oiled machine in terms of advertising our own technology and so on and so forth. So you need to, again, first thing is you need a camera. You need to start making yourself better. And you made a good point before about, you know, how to differentiate and it's really not so much differentiating. It's just getting better. And when you're able to display your work at the highest level, they come to you. You don't even have to do anything anymore. There's no secret formula to it. You just need to get your skills better. I mean, I saw a huge jump in my patients' referrals when I got accredited in 2010 or 11. And then when I became a fellow, as I'm the only one in New York, the referrals are crazy because people go online now. They look at that stuff. They want to know your credentials. And why people are coming to me is because, oh, he's the only fellow from the ACD in all of New York. So I'm going there. And that's only because I put the time in, I put the effort in, I develop my skills over time. I mean, I look at cases that I did 10 years ago that I'm like, man, I wish I could do that over. That's okay. That's the best I had then. But yeah. I didn't stop there thinking I was great because I got accredited. So what? Right. What else can I do? And still, I'm accredited. I'm a fellow. Should I put the cosmetic gun down and say I've done it all? No, I'm just getting started. There's got to be more. There's got to be another bar I can try to raise. And that's the way I look at it every day. And it's not as intimidating as it may sound at all. It's just I want to better myself. And I have to say this. As the years went on, I used to work 55, 60 hours a week because I wanted to make a lot of money. I work 27 to 30, and I make 8 times what I used to make. Why? Because my composite fee ain't the same in 2021 as it was in 2010 when I didn't know how to layer composite like I do now.
Right.
So when you get yourself better and you could deliver the highest quality of work and you're confident in that, you could charge it. And you don't have to see a patient every 30 minutes. I mean, my appointments now are 2 hours, 3 hours. I had a guy for 7 hours the other day. That's it. And I only need to see one or two. And that's the kind of dentistry I want to do. And if that's what you want to do, you need to start by taking a look inside yourself and say, all right, how do I get better? First step is I better take pictures of my stuff to see what I'm looking at. And then say, all right, you know what? I suck at composite. Fine. Go to this course and start. And don't just go to the course. Monday morning, buy plastic teeth and cut one a day for 30 days, 60 days. Then all of a sudden, you're going to be looking for class fours to do.
Yeah. I want to talk about your courses here in a second because you guys have an amazing offering that's going to open up on March 1st. But let's bring this home. If what last thoughts, and it's anyone's guess what the future looks like, but you know, give us some last thoughts on photography and how important it is to the future of a dentist and what we can anticipate to see in the future.
Well, I think the future is completely going to be digital at some point. And photography is a very key component in that. I mean, I work with an awesome lab in Florida, Midwest Dental Arts, and we've done, I don't know, a dozen full mouth rehabs from start to finish, completely digital. And it starts with 5 photos of the patient's face. So I think in terms of that high end level of dentistry and the future of dentistry, digital is going to be a big thing. But I think if I had to say anything about photography, if you don't own a digital camera, you will never, ever be a good dentist. And I say that with the utmost respect and truth, but I mean it. I can't possibly fathom that anyone who doesn't take pictures of anything they do to communicate to their patients, their staff, themselves, you will never improve. You're going to be stuck in the same rut. And I always said the day that I don't get excited to come to work, no matter how many hours I do, I'll go back to being a garbage man because I was in sick shape and it was awesome. I mean, I wish I looked like I did back then. But I come to work and listen, it's work, right? It gets frustrating sometimes, but it's fire. I love it. I mean, I'm not supposed to be here today. I came in to do a photo shoot. I came in to do work on presentations to do this with you. Why? Because it's a fire I have inside. And when that thing dies, I'm done.
Dude, yeah, I always enjoy you every time. I have brand new respect. I've never heard your real story all the way back. That's powerful. Helps me understand who you are, man. It's a great story. Now, I want you to talk about your courses. You guys do an amazing offering of courses. You're going to open it up on March 1st. And, you know, for the benefit of people that are listening too, how can they find out more about this? You've got your kaleidoscope course coming up. You also do the class 4 composites. Talk about the offering and when and what they do.
Yeah. So we have, Amanda and I have 4 courses. We were going to release a new one this year, but with COVID we didn't. We're going to release that next year, but we have a course called Nexus, which is, we do with a awesome, awesome guy, Dennis from, who is the product developer for Bisco, Rolando Nunez. He's amazing. So we do a bonding and isolation course where he does a whole day on bonding to every substrate you can think of and every material you can think of. And then the second day is rubber dam isolation and cementation, all hands-on. The courses that we do are 90 to 80% hands-on courses. We have a 2-day photography course called Kaleidoscope. We have a class 4 composite course called Synthesis, which is 4 different techniques to do a class 4 composite. And then we have a course on smile design and diastema closure and injection molding called Synthesis 2. We're only doing four this year. We put them to the end of the year because of the pandemic, unfortunately, and we didn't know how travel was going to be early on. So we'll have four this year. Next year, we'll probably do 8 to 10, and we're going to introduce a new course called Blueprint, which will be prep and temp of veneers, onlays, inlays, crowns, and so on and so forth. They're available to see on our website, which is www.impress courses.com. And yeah, registration will open 9 a.m. on March 1st morning. Last year we were invited to the Koi Center to do a 3-day course where we combined some of our courses, which was amazing experience at the Koi Center. And we were re-invited this year. That course is September 9th, 10th, and 11th. And it was pretty nuts. We've sold it out 40 spots in 3 hours and 15 minutes, which was insane. So super, super humbling.
Dude, I want to go. Like, if you're like me, don't even think about it. Do it. Every single person that comes back from the experiences that you and Amanda provide, they're always like, it was so incredible. Not only you guys, great people, but you're incredible influencers, instructors, mentors. It's awesome, buddy. I'm so excited to have you on. And again, I want to have you back again and again and again.
Anytime.
We're going to cover
it. It was a pleasure.
Yeah, so stick around while we say goodbye to everybody else. But if you guys enjoyed today, which I know you did, do us a favor. Just hit the share button. Share with your friends. Check out Adamo and Amanda's courses on the website. If you go down to the show notes, you're going to see, we're going to put this in the show notes. You can just click the link. You'll see Adamo's email address down there. If you need any help, he is awesome. And he's got the heart of a great servant, great teacher. He will always help you. And until we see you guys next time, keep watching the Best Practices Show. You guys enjoy the rest of your day. There you have it. Thanks for tuning in to this episode of the Best Practices Show. I hope you sure did enjoy it. If you have any questions, feel free to reach out to us. We are always here for you. And if you haven't done so already, make sure you subscribe to the show on iTunes or wherever you consume podcasts. And if you really enjoy it, you can leave a comment or a 4 or 5 star review. But until we see you next time, keep watching the Best Practices Show.